Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence. We can already feel you so strongly here, Lord. So just come, Holy Spirit. And I just ask you, Lord, to confirm your word with signs and wonders. And just move, Lord, heal bodies even right now in Jesus' name. And just come, Holy Spirit. And I just pray that you would bring understanding to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. He can preach better than anybody in the world. So I felt like I had this word of encouragement. Because, you know, sometimes scripture just comes alive to you. And so I wanted to share a little bit. But before I start, if you have a smartphone, could you pull it out real quick and go to a website? Go to, if you can, go to increase.global. So this website is, they post testimonies from all over the world. Stories, testimonies, I mean, of every kind you can think of. Financial miracles, healings, just everything. It's going to play into the message a little bit later. So, but if you don't have a phone with you, just go to increase.global later. You can look it up on, you can watch this, or you can ask me at the house or whatever. But it's a really powerful website because the Lord has just been speaking so much about testimonies and what we listen to. Jesus said this. He said, be careful how you hear. In other passages, he says, be careful what you hear, because what you hear is going to determine your level. He said, to the one who has, more will be given, and the one who hasn't, it will be taken away. So we need to be careful what we listen to. And this is very evidenced in 1 Samuel 17. So I'm just going to kind of trust the Lord. I'm going to read some passages. We're going to walk through 1 Samuel 17. I'll stop and highlight a few things. And I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit to just speak his word, whatever he wants to speak to you. So here we go. So everyone knows about David and Goliath, right? I mean, that's like even non-Christians know about David and Goliath. So we're going to start in 1 Samuel 17. And we're going to start in verse 11. You all know this story, so I'm just going to come into a few places. So Goliath was sitting there taunting the Israelites' army. You got it? Okay, awesome. So it says, when Saul and all of Israel heard the words of Goliath, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Let me just read the words of Goliath to you. He said, let me go back a couple verses. So this is a huge man. He said, why have you come out to the line of battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. And if I prevail against him and kill him, then you will be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all of Israel heard these words and the words of the Philistines, they were greatly dismayed and greatly afraid. Greatly afraid. Do you know of a country right now that's greatly afraid? Do you know of a people right now that's greatly afraid? Do you? I mean, this is the and day and night, the armies of Israel, they're sitting there hearing the words of Goliath, hearing the report of the world over and over. I mean, this is the earth's report. This man is huge. He's like 10 feet tall. He's got all this armor. He's got this spear. He's got all of this stuff. How can we come against this guy? I mean, and they hear that day and night from morning to evening. Every day, the Israelites hear this word, and they're greatly terrified, and they're frozen. They're paralyzed by the fear of all that they're hearing, everything. And Jesus said this, again, I'll repeat it. He said, be careful what you hear. Do you want to know how you can tell what people are listening to? Because it's what they talk about. It's what they're afraid of. And so we have to be careful. And listen, if I could put a giant mirror right here, I would, because I need to hear. I mean, I'm sharing this because I've been ministered to by this. So the Israelites are sitting here listening to Earth's report, hearing about, and they're sitting there. Look, let me just give you proof of this, okay? Have you ever had like a pain in your arm or your leg and you went on WebMD and you found out that you had terminal cancer, only 4 weeks to live? You know what I'm talking about? You go to WebMD, everything on WebMD says, oh, you have cancer, you're going to die. Never go on WebMD, especially if you have anxiety. Just stay away from it. But that's kind of what's happening here. So let me zoom in. Let me go to, and let me just say this real quick. I read this quote this morning from Corrie Ten Boom. She said, worry is like a rocking chair that keeps you busy but doesn't bring you any further. And so this is where the armies of Israel are right now. They're hearing the report. That's all they're hearing. But then the anointed one, David, he was anointed by Samuel, filled with the Holy Spirit. And the only report he had was he was in the wilderness taking care of sheep, worshiping the Lord. So you have these that are immersed in the world's report. And then you have the one that's been tending the sheep and he's just immersed in the Lord, immersed in the Spirit, worshiping the Lord. And so then David comes. He comes on the scene. His dad says, bring my other sons some, you know, cheese and bread and stuff and bring it to their captains and check on them, see how they're doing, and bring me back a report of how they're doing. So in verse 26, David goes and he hears Goliath, you know, he hears it and he's like, whoa. So in verse 26, David spoke to the men and stood by him saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know, this is the first time anyone's brought God up in the picture at all. David steps in and he says, who is this? See, he doesn't see the Goliath as, oh, he's going to kill us. He sees Goliath as, oh, he's defying the living God. He's putting fear into the people of God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would put fear into the people of God? And he's the only one saying, I mean, he's the smallest one of them all. He's not even a warrior. You know, it's like, I heard this story of, it was funny, I love Duck Dynasty, and one of them was sharing this story. They had a football game going, and there was this guy that kept tackling them every time. And the coach said, okay, who's going to get this guy? And the smallest one, Cy Robertson, he said, I'll get him. He's like 130 pounds. And David, he's the least likely one. And he's like, but he, you know, they see how big Goliath is, but David sees how big God is, right? So they may be bigger than, Goliath may be bigger than David, but David knows that God is bigger than Goliath. And so let's just keep going. You know, and the other thing, I got to say this real quick. The word unprecedented, we have got to take that word back. Unprecedented means this has never happened before. It means, you know, we've heard that so many times. Oh, we have unprecedented virus. We have unprecedented times. That word belongs to the Lord. He is the only one unprecedented. The miracles that he does, the things that he does. When he healed the blind, they said, we've never seen anything like this. Who has ever done anything like this before? He's still doing that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Come on. And so David has never seen a giant killed before. So this is really remarkable that he's seeing this giant. He doesn't have any testimonies to refer back to. All he knows is that in this unprecedented situation in Israel, that the Lord is the unprecedented one, right? And so it doesn't really matter who Goliath is. But, you know, after, I just want to say this, though, after David killed Goliath, other people in Israel started killing giants. Did you know that? No one killed a giant, then David kills Goliath, and then people start killing giants. It's like the guy who, the scientists were saying, no one can run a 4-minute mile. It's physically impossible for a human being to run a 4-minute mile. Then someone breaks the record. They run a mile in less than 4 minutes. The next year, someone beats that record. Why? It's because of the power of testimony, the power of precedent. And so that's why I want you to download this app because, or it's not an app even, it's a website. Because all of a sudden, you don't have to download it. I'm sorry, I was wrong about that. You can just read those testimonies because, listen, how many times have you gotten a little cough and you're like, oh, man, I know somebody who got this and they, you know, they got that, but they only had the sinus thing and that's all I've, so do I have, and listen, this is not a sermon on the coronavirus or on vaccines, just so you know. It's about fear. But you hear, you're like, okay, yeah, I know somebody, they got this. And then you start getting into the, okay, I'm going to go research all the statistics about, you know, this. And you're just listening to Goliath. But that's the power of testimony. But then on the flip side of that, you go on to, you start reading testimonies. You know, can I share about us praying for you? Would that be okay? You remember when Gail, you had COVID last year, right? And I remember I saw you were laid out on the couch. You had like 100-something fever. And we came and we prayed for you. And the next day, it was like you never had it, right? Right? And you were up doing, we've got to feed ourselves with the testimony, with the faith. I mean, and that's why I love this word, this website. Because listen, I just want to encourage you, statistics aren't bad. You know, being careful is not bad. You know, none of that is bad. But for every 30 minutes you spend researching about the coronavirus, spend 30 minutes looking up testimonies of coronavirus being healed by prayer. And yeah, they may take this down from YouTube because YouTube says you can't say that coronavirus can be healed by Jesus. But it can be. I mean, that's on their policy now. So let's keep going. I'm sorry, I'm lost track of time. So real quick, in 28, it says, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard David talking like this. I'm kind of paraphrasing. And he was angry against David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of heart. And you have come down here just to see the battle. So sometimes people in unbelief will look at faith and they'll say, this is irresponsible. This is prideful. So just be aware of that. But they only get a couple verses in the story, so don't even worry about them. So let's go to verse 37. So David talks to Saul, right? And Saul says, okay, it's a miracle Saul lets him go. But David says this, he's convincing Saul, and he says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So every battle we face, just a couple things, every battle we face is a testimony waiting to happen, right? But I also feel that our training season is over. We're not in training season anymore. We do have giants to face, but the good thing is the battle is the Lord. So Saul says, go and the Lord be with you. And then Saul does this thing. Saul tries to put armor on David. He tries to give David a sword, tries to give him a helmet, tries to give him all these things that represent man's strength, man's ability, right? Man's reasoning. That's how we're going to win this battle, right? Through our strength. But it didn't even fit David. I mean, Saul basically represents the best of man. And David kind of represents the anointing, the walking in the Spirit. And David, you know, in the new covenant, we're in Christ. We're born of the Holy Spirit. We're always seated in the heavenly places in Christ, always being constantly, it's like a river of living water flowing through us. So this whole thing is just how the Holy Spirit gives boldness. So anyway, let's keep going so we can wrap up. So right, so 38, so Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I can't walk with these, for I have not even tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in his shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had, and he had a sling. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. Now, by the way, the shield would have weighed like, I don't even know, like 40 pounds. I don't know, like very heavy shield that Goliath had. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. So just even in this verse, he looked about and he's like, who is this guy? And then he looks down and he's like, oh, David down there, way down there. So anyway, David says this in verse 45. David said to the Philistine, so Goliath gives some trash talk, and David says this, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I have come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give your carcass to the camp of the Philistines and the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know, this is the point, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all of this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So, you know, I think even death itself, I mean, it can be scary. I get it. I mean, I'm not dying. I'm 33. I mean, but I may. I mean, we're not guaranteed anything, right? I mean, but Jesus has conquered the fear of even death. And that's what I'm saying about these testimonies. I remember hearing a story of a lady that I know. She went through chronic pain for 7 years. She had to get a specialist treatment in France. I know this person. And they messed up the surgery. They used some glue to hold together some arteries, and the glue broke, and she bled to death on the table. She left her body, and she said, for the first time in 7 years, I didn't have any pain. And she said, leaving your body is just kind of like taking off, you know, your clothes or taking off a backpack. You're still yourself. You still have your thoughts. She said, I still had all my thoughts, and I just didn't have any pain. And she said she was hovering above her body. She could see the doctors freaking out, you know, running about and speaking French, what's going on. And then the Lord came to her, the Lord himself. And she said his presence was like just overwhelming. And the Lord told her, you can come with me now or you can stay, for the prayers of the saints have given you a choice. And she said, why would I go back? Why would I go back? And then she had a vision of her son. And then the Lord said, you've made your decision and you'll know pain, but I'll be with you. And the Lord spoke some other things to her. She went back in her body. A few years later, she was healed at a Randy Clark conference. The Lord totally healed her. But what I'm saying is, you know, Jesus defeated everything, especially even death. I mean, we don't even have to have the fear of death. I know it's there, but the antidote is not this. We can't guilt and condemn ourselves or guilt and condemn other people into not being afraid. Guilt and condemnation does not produce fruit, only the filling of the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, the other night, I'll just be transparent. I was getting a little sick and I was like, or not sick, but I mean, this was like a while ago. I was like getting some sinus stuff, and I was like, oh no. And I was getting this fear, and I did everything I talked about. I was like, oh, statistics, oh, WebMD, all this. And I just had to stop and just worship, and all the fear just left. I did get tested, you know, later on. It was negative, just to be on for other people, whatever. Like I said, this is not about coronavirus, it's about fear. But just be filled with the Holy Spirit and the Lord. And listen, here's the thing. When David conquered Goliath, here's what I want to land here. When the Philistine arose and came near and drew near. Let me fast forward a little bit to 52. So when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistine as far as the entrance of the valley to the gates of Ekron. And so do you see this? Everyone's afraid. And then the champion comes and the champion takes down Goliath and emboldens the people to go forth. Who will break fear over this city? Who will break fear over this church? Who will break fear over the nation? We have a champion, and he didn't come with a sword or a spear or an army. He came and he faced death, and he conquered death from the inside out, so that in him we don't have to have any fear. And when we rise up and we just live that spirit-filled life, it sets other people free. And if you ever find me in fear, pray for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, please. So, Jesus, we just bless your name. Because listen, it's not about us being in fear or not in fear. It's about the Lord and who he is. It's about his name. When we live in fear, we're worshiping something other than the Lord. So Lord, we just worship you. We exalt your name. We ask for a fresh filling of your spirit and boldness, Lord, to just worship and exalt your holy name. So glorify your name, Jesus, in this place. Push back the darkness in Jesus' name. And just confirm your word today with signs and wonders in Jesus' name. Amen.